Blog Talk Radio.
Hi guys, this is Denise Bassi, Randy from All My Children.
Hey, this is Chriselle Stouse, and you're listening to Stardish Radio. Good evening, everyone, and welcome back for another edition of Stardish Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is June 29th, 2009. I'm your host, Joanne. The number here is 347-945-5423. Guests who are in the chat room, please go and register with Blog Talk Radio so you can participate in the chat. It only takes a minute, and it is free. So let me see here. As everyone knows, last week, or the week before, rather, Beth Ellers was a guest on my program, and I cannot say how thrilled I was that she agreed to do it, because it isn't the type of interview she would normally do. She was very candid about many things, and it's ironic because we spent a good part of the conversation talking about the cons of Twitter and the internet and how people are not held accountable for what they say anymore thanks to technology. Well, that seems to have come to fruition from that show concerning Beth and her co-star, J.R. Martinez. My primary guest tonight is the one and only J.R. Martinez, and he has become an inspiration to everyone he makes contact with. He carries an incredible tale to tell, and it only gets more inspiring for Americans and war veterans each time he tells it. So right now, I'm fishing on the phone for my guest. Hi, who's this? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this?
Hey, how you doing? It's JR.
Hey, JR, how are you? Welcome.
I'm good. It's a pleasure.
Welcome to the show. So I'm letting everybody know we have JR, like I said, who is my primary guest. But on the flip side, I also have his very lovely co-star and friend, Miss Beth Ellers, on the phone as well. Beth, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Joanne. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you, JR. Hi, hon.
How you doing?
Okay, guys, a little rift started on the internet because of Beth's appearance on Stardish. And basically right now, you guys can take the floor, say what you want to say. Let's clear the air.
Well, I don't want to take up JR's interview because he always has so much to talk about, and he's very engaging and interesting. But JR and I spoke today realizing that this thing was just growing and becoming really nasty and really ugly. And we went back and forth and said maybe we shouldn't say anything because that just feeds it. And then we just said, you know what, let's just put it to rest because it's mean. It's getting nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciated JR, you know, letting me call in. Thank you, hon. I appreciate it.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, one of the biggest things, Joanne, is you know, I think there was just a lot of things that factored into, you know, everything, you know, from Beth's time on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I heard about it, it was something that, you know, there's a lot of frustrations in the sense of, you know, people in their own opinion have their frustrations about the writing and so on and so forth. And, you know, it's just a lot of things that kind of factored in. And and for me, it was just something that I heard it, and when I heard it at the moment, it just like, oh, it came across the wrong way. It just
mm-hmm.
like the choice of words. And I immediately put on Twitter and Facebook immediately, like the next day, and I was like, hey guys, there's no feud. You have your the people you love in your life, whether it be your mother, your father, your wife, a husband, no matter. And you don't always agree with certain words, you know, I mean, that's just part of life. Everyone chooses different words, and certain things maybe come across a different way. But we talked today, and you know, we were like, you know, the best thing to do instead of just hiding it and allow it to continue to grow is just, you know, let's put it to rest and allow people to understand that, you know, we are friends and, you know, we do care for one another. And, you know, we did work very hard to tell this story, you know, and for the public to understand what it is that we were trying to tell, you know, along with, you know, the network.
Mm-hmm. When JR and I started working together, my God, I mean, he took me to endless veteran fundraisers. I spent 4 days with him down in Florida. He really allowed me to immerse myself in his life. Thus, we became friends. And along with me being in his personal life, I stood, you know, and looked in his eyes and cried on his shoulder in scenes as he did the same with me. You become friends with someone that you have kind of intimacy with. So if I say something and my friend tells me that I've hurt him, I take that seriously. I don't need people who don't know us to get involved. It got really mean. And because I live under a rock, I didn't even know about any of this. I kind of heard about it a little bit last week. You know, JR had texted me, and I was like, oh, my God, you know, hey, if you need to talk. I knew he needed a couple of days because I was like, shoot, I really hurt my friend, and I misspoke, and I didn't have a chance to qualify it because the woman who was talking, she jumped in, and she interrupted me mid-sentence. And I just felt terrible, and I said, I'll give him a few days, and then we'll talk. And then all this happened, and when we spoke today, we were both kind of like, damn, that kind of really got out of hand, and it's getting mean and nasty, and people who don't know either one of us are saying nasty things about both of us.
Right.
So we just wanted an opportunity to say, we love each other, we're friends, stop. Stop. Enough. You've made your point. So I'm going to let it go at that and leave him and let him entertain you. And thank you, because I don't want to take up his time. I love you, hon. Thank you so much for letting me talk.
It's not my show. It's her show. So.
Now, this show is about everybody. So I'm glad that the both of you decided to come on together. I'm glad you called me and decided. I really thought that was a good idea, but I was kind of hesitant to even put it out there. But I'm glad you did. And so everybody knows, it is Beth and JR that are on the phone, because I have people that are just logging into the chat room now. And there is no feud. They are friends. And, you know, cut the nonsense when it comes to the meanness, because it's really stupid. don't make me have to get all Yonkers up on your asses in here, because then you'll be sorry. So, you know, that's just the way we roll. But Beth, you know, you're always welcome. We'll just have to maybe edit some things next time.
No, believe me, I will have carefully constructed responses to everything, because, wow, I've never
sometimes
seen like that
just
before.
Happens.
And
yeah, yeah.
I just can't believe the way people can take things and not know anybody and just say, well, this is what she meant, and you're going, wow, whoa,
mm-hmm.
Back off. Why are you so mad? Why do you hate me so much? Boy.
It takes on a life of its own, the internet and words. It really does. And it goes back to what we spoke about people not being held accountable for what they say.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
all right. Well, good night. Have a lovely, yeah. Lovely interview. I don't want to interfere anymore.
Enjoy the rest of your night, Beth. Thanks a lot for chiming
Thank
in.
You on. Okay.
All right.
Bye. Good night.
Okay, JR, I got you all to myself. You should be afraid.
I think I can handle it. I think I'm ready.
Don't be scared.
I think we can make this work.
I'm really glad that you decided to come on. I'm very happy because I meant what I said. You do really have an incredible story to tell. And, God, you're so young at that. It does only get more inspiring. I need to say thank you to you for even enlisting in the Army in the first place. So let's start with there. Why the Army? Why did you enlist to begin with?
Well, there were several reasons. You know, I just graduated from high school, and it was something that it made complete sense in that point in my life. And what it was is, you know, as a kid, I developed this dream that I wanted to be a professional football player. I mean, I loved mm-hmm. football, and that's what I wanted to do. I mean, kids come up with those visions and those dreams, and I felt I had done everything I needed to do in order to accomplish that dream. Well, the one key factor that I left out was, you know, the grades aspect of it, actually school, the reason we go to school. I mean, because all
mm-hmm.
I cared about was, you know, trying to be everybody's friend. I'd love to make people laugh. I just wanted to be that popular guy. That's all I really cared about, to be honest with you, you know, outside of football. And when I graduated high school, I went to a local college, and I was going to, you know, attend. And they told me that I wouldn't be eligible to play sports for 2 years in college because of my grades. And what I decided to do, I said, well, if I can't go to college, then I won't. If I can't play football, then I won't go to college. I mean, although I wanted to be like a physical therapist, but I felt that that was my real incentive to go to school was for sports. And, you know, I got a job in the summer, and I was you know, 18, and I was sitting around one day and watching TV, and I saw a commercial about the United States Army, and, you know, it just presented a lot of great opportunities for me at that point in my life. You know, I was 18. I really had no idea what I was going to do. I felt that that would give me an opportunity to, you know, give back to a country that has given so much to me and that was under attack the year before. I mean, I was a senior in high school when 9/11 happened, and I felt that that was one key component. Also, the fact that it would allow me to travel, it allowed me to explore more of the world that I knew that was out there, but I had not witnessed, you know, in any way, just be on TV and, you know, newspapers and stuff like that. And, you know, and at the same time, give me an opportunity to go to college, you know, get it funded. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, there was just a lot of key things that just made sense. And when I joined, I mean, it wasn't peacetime. And I just thought to myself, I'll join for, you know, 3 or 4 years, you know, I'll do my time and I'll get out, then I'll go to college, you know, and I'll continue to pursue this dream that I had. Although I would be older, but it can still be done. That's the way I thought. And when I joined, it was something that immediately I started to think to myself, you know, I can really make a career out of this. I really enjoy this, the camaraderie, the sense of independence, you know, and a sense of having that significant feeling that, you know, you are one of the key reasons that this country is witnessing the thing that we so love, and it's freedom. And it was a great thrill to be able to know that some of that responsibility lied on my shoulders.
That's just amazing, and it's funny because I have this talk with my son because he's getting ready to graduate high school in 2 years, and he, just like you, wants to play professional football, didn't have the good grades, and I speak to him about this all the time. Okay, then 3 weeks, you're there.
Yeah, Joanne, I'm a very big believer ever since this whole, you know, I use that very lightly, the word accident, you know, because it really wasn't an accident.
No.
It was something that I feel that the military was an opportunity for me to get a story. That's all. I'm a very big believer in life and destiny, and God had a plan, and I think His plan was for me to be where I am today, but I needed a story. And by being in the military, that was going to be a great way to give me a story that people would be receptive to me. I mean, I joined in September 2002, so a few months after I graduated high school. I did basic training until December of 2002. In January of 2003, I was assigned to my unit, which was the 101st out of Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and about an hour from Nashville, Tennessee. And I was 19. I turned 19, and I thought to myself, okay, you know, I still got plenty of time before I go anywhere. You know, I know I'm going to go somewhere sometime soon, but I didn't think it was going to be that soon. And then March of 2003, I found myself, you know, as they call it, they sent the sandbox. And I was fighting off sand, and I thought to myself, wow, you know, it happened, and it's real, and I have to find a way to adapt to this, and this is what I knew that the possibilities would be, and I was open to it, and I was just doing my job, and, you know, like you said, 3.5 weeks into being in Iraq, my accident happened, you know, I was injured.
And I mean, I can't even imagine what was going through your mind at that time. I mean, you've spoke about it many, many times, and you've said that maybe some people in the chat room don't know that you had a older sister, rather, who passed away before you could meet her, and you had said that you saw her in a vision, and she was what really got you through it.
You know, it's it's interesting because a lot of people really don't know that part of me. I don't know if a lot of people I think a lot of people recently have started to notice that I have an earring, and it's a blue stone, and it's a small mm-hmm. blue stone. And what it is, it's the sister that passed away. It's her birthstone, mm-hmm. and that's why I wear it. Well, the story with me is my family's from Central America, a small country
right.
called El Salvador, and mm-hmm. my mother had two daughters over in El Salvador. She, you know, like a lot of foreigners, she thought, you know what, let me come to the United States and find a job, get some money, and then go back and take care of my family. Well, that was her plan. When she got here, she ended up meeting my father, and then, you know, a little surprise came along, and that was
right.
Jose Rene Martinez, you know, because that's my full name.
Right.
Well, then at 9 months old, my father left. And I don't know him to this day, never met him, anything. And, you know, he left, and my mother was left with the choice, you know, what do I do? Do I stay here in the States with this, you know, newborn son that I have and I'm all by myself here? Or do I take him back to El Salvador with me and at least we can be a family together? Well,
right.
the biggest thing the reason she decided to stay here was because no one in my family ever had opportunities to really succeed and excel
mm-hmm.
and to be given that opportunity and that gift. So she said, you know what, at least my two daughters are with, you know, my mother, which her mother, my grandmother, you know,
mm-hmm.
my aunts, uncles, the whole family, they're in good hands. And she said, I'll stay here with him and just take care of him. Well, when I was five, I mean, I had met my sisters, both of my sisters, I never had met them. And when I was five, I remember running into the house one day, and my mother was, she was on the edge of the bed, and she was crying. And I ran up to her, you know, because 5 years old, this is all I know. This is my friend and my mother. And I walked up to her and I said, Mom, why are you crying? And she, you know, as calm as she could be, she said, remember I told you you had two sisters in El Salvador? And I said, yes. And she said, one of your sisters just passed away from an illness she was born with. And I remember, like, it hit me, but it didn't hit me in a sense of, like, I lost my sister. It hit me because I saw my mother upset.
Right.
So I hugged her, I kissed her, and I said, I loved you, and I ran off to play. Well, when I was six, my mother took me to El Salvador for the first time, and I got to meet my other sister. And, you know, it was a great eye-opening experience for me at a young age because it allowed me to understand that the things that I am able to have here in the States are so much better than, at that time, what my family, you know, is witnessing in another country. They don't have the McDonald's. They don't have the, you know, the playgrounds and stuff like that. It was just a whole different environment.
Right.
But when I was nine, we went back, and my mother actually took me to my sister's burial site.
Mm.
And when I got there, for some strange reason, I couldn't pull away. I started to cry, and I got very emotional, and I just couldn't pull away. And I didn't understand what this feeling was about. I didn't understand any of this. And my mother didn't understand any of it. And I lived my whole life basically trying, you know, confused of why I felt such a connection with her when I never met her. Well, as you said, fast forward to when I was 19 and I was in Iraq, and I ran over this landmine. I'm trapped inside this truck, and I'm conscious the whole time while this vehicle is on fire. My body is, you know, as you can imagine, it's burning. And I'm feeling this pain. I'm seeing my body, basically my hands are right in front of me, and I can see them basically changing in front of me. And I'm screaming and yelling at the top of my lungs for someone to please, you know, come get me out of this vehicle, please.
Mm-hmm.
You hear in Hollywood, they say, well, my life flashed before my eyes. And, you know, you never think that's really true or real.
Right.
Well, it happened to me, and I can actually see them giving the flag to my mother. And I can see my mother's life being completely changed and devastated. And I thought to myself, I got to hang on just a little bit longer. And out of the blue, it went from this chaos and this loudness and this, you know, this desperation, scream and yell for help, to a nice, peaceful, calm whisper. And a visual of my sister came to me and spoke to me and said that I was going to be okay because Mom needed me.
Mm.
And it seemed like the minute that went away, I was pulled out of the truck. And, you know, I was basically able to start my recovery process. So for me, since that day, I believe that she's my guardian angel. I believe that,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's there's a reason that, you know, she lost her life at a young age, and to be able to be here to guide me and help me and protect me through everything that I'm doing now. And I mean, I just turned 26, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and when I turned 26, I was that day at Sunday, I was kind of just reflecting, and I sat back and I was just thinking about all the things that I've been lucky enough to be able to accomplish in such, mm-hmm. in such short years, and I thought to myself, wow, you know, but I didn't do this alone. You know, there's a lot of factors that make up, you know, J.R. Martinez, you know, and it's just not somebody that was born and has this amazing talent. There's so many things behind me that I think a lot of people don't understand and don't know.
Right. Well, now, how did you, okay, if now you're in the hospital and you're doing your operations and all that, and of course your mom is by your side. Fast forward to you're out of that and you're done with your surgeries. What made you go and decide to start doing the motivational speaking and stuff like that? I mean, I can only imagine somebody going through what you went through, being depressed, and, you know, you would have to go through some kind of psychological care and, you know, that kind of thing, because as traumatic as it is, they got to help you through it, you know? I mean, how did you pull yourself out of that?
Well, you know,
because
it was
incredibly positive, and it's just like, I know some people would just be extremely bitter all the time, and you're not that.
Well, you know, I remember, like, well, the first couple times that I met Beth, and we did a couple interviews together to talk about this new storyline, and I remember Beth saying to me a couple times, she's like, "You're so damn positive." She's like, "You're so damn positive. Or do you ever get upset or mad about something?" And I started laughing. I was like, I mean, it gets to me for the moment, but then I just kind of like pass it off, you know. And mm-hmm. she's like, "Damn, you're so damn positive." But you know what it was is that, you know, I was injured in April 5th of 2003, and that's another thing. A lot of people have been asking me the question on Twitter, what's the tattoo on my wrist?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are get sneak peeks of it on all my children. And what it is I was injured at 2:30 in the afternoon on a Saturday, April 5th of 2003. Well, when I joined the military, I couldn't tell military time, not for anything. And,
mm-hmm.
and so they would always say, "Hey, Martinez, what time is it?" And I would say 3:00, and they were like, "No, do push-ups." And so, you know, that gets old after a while. So what I did is
right.
I bought a cheap military watch to teach me the time, that, you know, my way of cheating. Well,
right.
The day I got hurt, I was wearing that watch, and that watch actually kept my wrist from being burned. So my hand is burned, and my arm is burned, but my wrist isn't burned. So when I turned 25, I actually got a tattoo of that watch. And the watch, inside the face, it has zigzags, and it's symbolizing the watch is broken from the explosion.
Mm-hmm.
It says 2:30, like shortly after 2:30, the hands are right there. It has
mm-hmm.
Saturday. I mean, it has a little turn dial on and everything. Well, in the band of the watch, Roman numerals of the date I was injured.
Wow.
I wanted to mention that because I know a lot of people are like, "What is that tattoo? Why does he have a tattoo of a watch?" You know, there's meaning behind that. So, and what it was is April 5th of 2003, I was injured, and I was initially in the hospital from April to the end of June. And around May time frame, my mother, you know, when I was going through this depression, and I was going through this phase, you know, because I thought, you know, I'm different. And my biggest concern was is that I would never be able to live a normal life where people would actually want to be around me, and that was
mm-hmm.
my biggest fear. And my mother came to me, she said, "I know what your problem is." And I said, "Oh, yeah, you know, man, how many times have I heard that in my life?" And
right.
and she said, "Your problem is you're worried about girls." And I kind of, I didn't say anything, and I kind of just laughed, and I said, "You know, you're right, but, you know, I've always been a ladies' man," as they called me, you know, and when I was younger, and
mm-hmm.
I thought to myself, my life is different. Well, she said, "You have one thing to learn, JR, and it's probably the biggest thing that's going to carry you through. You need to understand that whoever's going to be in your life, no matter who they are and what relation, they're going to love you for who you are as a person and not what you look like." And it really hit me. It really hit me pretty hard, and it got me thinking. I said, "You know what, you're right." And then I started immediately changed my attitude, and I was like, "I'm glad it's happened to me now, because now I'll get to find out who really loves me for me." Well,
mm-hmm.
when I was – it was around August or maybe September – of that same year, so about, what, 6-7 months, I don't know, after I was injured, I you know, the military was great. They said, "Look, your job now is you recover, you just go to your appointments, that's all you do." And I thought to myself, "Do I still get paid?" And they said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, I got it made, you know, I basically retired." at 20 years old. And, you know, after a couple of weeks of that, sitting around, it gets old and it gets boring. And I thought to myself, well, I don't know anything in San Antonio because that's where I did my recovery. I said, so the only thing I know is where I was treated, the burn ward. So let me go to the burn ward and just hang out. And I was up there hanging out. And, you know, I would be the guy that, hey, will you go get the mail? You know, will you drop these blood samples off at lab? You know, things like that. And it was, I enjoyed it. It gave me, I felt like I was doing something, being productive. And one of the nurses came up to me one day, and she said, JR, would you mind speaking to one of my patients? They're not having a, you know, they're real depressed, they're real sad. And I just think maybe if they're able to see someone like you that is further along, that it's not as bad. And I was kind of afraid, actually, I mean, because I didn't know what I was going to say to him. I mean, and I walked in there, you know, very blindly, not having any direction, and the room was dark, and I started to talk to him. And after about, you know, 40, 45 minutes of talking, I said, okay, you know, I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to, I'll come back and check on you tomorrow. And right before I walked out, I looked back into the room, and he had lights on in the room, and he had the curtain open, which the sun was coming in. And that, to me, I looked at that as a symbolization that I had given that young man hope, that I had turned on the light for him when he couldn't find that light switch, that I helped him find it. And I thought to myself, there's my reason of why this happened to me. So I ran to where I was staying, and I called my mother, and I told her, I said, you know, I think I found out why this happened to me. She said, why? I said, I think I was kept in this world to use my experience to help other people. And she laughed, and she said, you know what, I think you might be right. And so what I started doing every day from that day forward is I started visiting patients, every patient in the hospital, in the burn ward, and just kind of being there for them and talking to them. And it kind of just grew. What happened was the public affairs of the hospital picked up on this, and they said, what a great story. And they started getting me on these 60 Minutes and, you know, these local San Antonio, you know, media outlets, and then all of a sudden I jumped on Oprah, and then I was, you know, I speak Spanish, so I was doing that market as well, and through all this media that I was doing, whether it was radio, print, or TV, people would say, hey, can you come speak to our class of kids or a veteran group or corporation, whatever it was, and I said, sure, and I started to see that I was having an impact on these people, and that I was really making a difference into a lot of people's, you know, perspective and their outlook and everything. And I said to myself, you know what, I want to continue this, and I really want to kind of broaden this out. And that's what I did. I started to really broaden out the whole speaking thing. And I enjoyed it because I felt at the end of the day, not only was I helping other people, but at the end of the day, what I was really doing is I was helping myself. I mean, that's the best way to recover for anybody. I mean, there's so many things that people are going through right now in this world, you know, whether it's the big one that everyone's talking about, the economy. You know, that people have lost their home. People have, you know, have lost a loved one. People have lost a job, you know, divorce. I mean, there's so many things that can bring you down. And I just felt that, you know what, in some way people can relate to me. Although my story is military, they still can relate to me. And I give them that sense of hope, you know, because I'm laughing and I'm smiling and I'm living my life. And I just continue to do it. I really just kind of broaden it out. And for the longest, before all my children, I mean, I was traveling nonstop around the country doing motivational speaking and doing a lot of charity work because I believed in, you know, giving back. And I believe that, you know, you're given something, but I think you should share it with other people. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you get paid on Friday, you know, you give your check to charity. Right. That means knowledge, wisdom, a helping hand, a smile, advice, a hug. You know, those are the things that are free that you can give to someone and make such a big difference in someone's life.
Absolutely. A lot of people don't realize and they don't deal with charities because they, when they hear the word charity, they think of money.
Right.
And there's so many other factors in it and that you can definitely deal with that don't involve money.
Yeah, and yeah, absolutely. You know, it's a great way to give back. And at the end of the day, you know, I've had so many people come up to me with the charities that I've been involved with, and people through meeting me have made large contributions. And they say, you know, we're going to write a check. And I'm like, well, that's don't get me wrong. You know, thank you very much, but I must warn you: be prepared for what you're about to get in return. And when I say that to people, they're like, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, you're going to get something back that's going to help you. And I said, because, you know, you're going to see other people, you're going to witness something, and it's going to be truly beautiful. I mean, like when no different than if you take the time to stand outside and you're looking up at a night and you're looking up at stars or you're witnessing something just priceless and beautiful. That's what charity is a lot of times. So, so I mean, and luckily I was doing those things because it felt good and I enjoyed going around and meeting different people and talking, and I still do. But if it wasn't for those things that I was doing, I would not be where I am today, and that's in front of thousands and millions of all my children fans.
Oh, I know. Let's switch gears and go to All My Children. Now, I know during your recovery you watched the novellas with your mom, but did you ever watch All My Children, or did you even know what All My Children was? Did you ever have the aspirations to become an actor? How did they find you?
You know what's funny is I'm sure this is I've witnessed and I've heard that it's the same story for some of the actors on the show now, the current characters that you know, a lot of them when they were younger, you know, either someone in their family watched it and now it's kind of unreal for them to be on it. That's kind of like how it was with me. My mother, when she was pregnant with me and then I was a baby, she watched All My Children all the time, and you know, it was funny because I actually, prior to my injury, you know, I would recall her talking about it a couple times. But the people she would talk about, the characters, you know, she would talk about, you know, Jesse and Angie and how she thought Tad was just unbelievably handsome and this and that. That's all she kept saying to me. And I remember that. And I was like, okay, I know what All My Children is, but I'm not a watcher. Well, the day when I was in the hospital, when I was recovering, you know, I couldn't do anything. I was literally in the bed, and there was no walking, no feeding myself, none of that. And so I was at the hands of other people, including my mother. So she had a control of the remote, and she put it on novellas. And there was nothing that I can do to change that. I just thought, you know what, I might as well just sit there and enjoy these and enjoy the drama and whatever. You know, it'd be something entertaining. Well, one day I said to my mother, while I was in the hospital recovering, I said to her, I said, you know, Mom, I'm going to be on a soap one day. And she laughed because, you know, I'm always joking. And she laughed and she said, well, how are you going to do that? And I said, I got it perfect. Here's a storyline. And I kid you not, this is really what I said. I said, there's going to be this guy dating this beautiful girl, right? And I said, and unfortunately, the guy's going to get in an accident, whether it's going to be like a car accident or a house fire or something. When she goes to the hospital to see him, it's me. And I was like, they don't have to use makeup or none of that. And then I ride off into the sunset with the beautiful girl. And she's like, yeah, you're funny. And I was like, well, it's just going to happen. And it was kind of like one of those, you're serious, but you don't want people to know you're completely serious, because then they're like, okay, you're really serious about that, and that's just unrealistic, you know. And it was something that I kind of had that, and I said that. And as I was doing motivational speaking, I thought to myself, all my children would be, not all my children, but acting would be a way for me to really do the inspirational thing on a whole nother level. You know, I would love to, you know, either be a small role in a movie or something, just to be able to show people on another circuit that, you know what, you can do it. And, you know, Hollywood isn't always about the flat stomachs, the pretty faces, and the long hair. There's so much more that, and if you believe and you work your butt off, you know, you can get there. And what happened was, you know, one of the directors, came up with this idea, let's do a story about a veteran on My Children. Well, he pitched it, you know, to the producer and the writers, and everyone liked it, you know, because All My Children has been that soap that has always put something that's going on in the world into a storyline, no different than, you know, which a lot of people love, Bianca and Reese, you know, the lesbian storyline. That's real, you know, and living in New York, you see it more, you know. I mean, and it's great. I mean, it's great that All My Children was able to take that, willing to take that risk. And Vietnam, they actually did a story about a Vietnam vet, you know, coming back. I mean, abortion was, you know, I mean, there's so many things that All My Children has done. So for them, it was like, you know what, this would be a great time to do something like that. But they said instead of actually getting an actor to play this, that they wouldn't know anything, let's try to see how lucky we can get if we can get a veteran to play this. And they said, well, they teamed up with an organization called USA Cares, and I think a few other were, you know, the casting director was going out to some of these events and trying to meet some different veterans and see who would be a good fit for this. And from my understanding, they had over 600 applicants, and a lot of people applied for this. And what happened was I was in L.A. doing, you know, an event, meeting with a guy doing an event out there, not acting related or anything like that. And early in the morning, I got an email on my BlackBerry, and it said, "All My Children is looking for a veteran to play this role on a show." And I thought to myself, no way, like this is unreal. So I called the casting director, and awkwardly enough, it just seemed like it was meant to be, because awkwardly enough, I was actually late. I was actually going to catch a flight, like in about 4 hours, to New York for a separate event here in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So when I called the casting director and we spoke, I told her, I said, "I'm actually going to be in New York." She said, "Well, can you stop by?" And I stopped by, you know, that following Tuesday or Wednesday, and met with the casting director, met with, you know, the executive producer, and, you know, they said, obviously, you got a great look, you know, you speak very well, you speak very clearly, you know, but the key factor is, you know, can you act? And I said, the only acting I know how to do is just acting like a fool. I was like, that's the only thing I really know how to do. And they said, okay, well, you know, we're going to look at some other guys, and we'll call you back in a month, you know, to do your screen test, your audition. I said, okay. And I came back and got to meet Beth, and, you know, we went up on set, and, you know, one take, we did it. And about a week after that, they called me and said, guess what, you got the part. And it was amazing because, you know, one, it was an opportunity. I think the storyline does three things. One, it educates America about military, and
mm-hmm.
that there are men and women that are serving our great country, and a lot of them are come back wounded, whether it's physical scars or internal scars, but there's some kind of scarring there. Two is that when you come back from an injury like that, you feel, especially physically in my case, you feel that you can't have a beautiful girl like a Beth, you know, like
mm-hmm.
a Taylor, should I say. And
mm-hmm.
so what you do is you feel like the best thing for Taylor's life is for you to push her away and allow her to find true happiness somewhere else with someone that is whole, that someone that is not messed up like me. And that's when Taylor came in and she started to click with Jake because,
mm-hmm.
you know, she was kind of getting over the broad, like slowly getting over it, but she was coming to terms that it was okay, that was part of it. And Jake was helping her with that. And it was something that it's educating people that, you know what, it happens. But three, at the same time, not only is it educating, it's educating America in the sense of the people that have those scars and have those disabilities, that, you know what, you can be loved by someone that is unbelievably gorgeous and beautiful or whatever. Like, and you can be in this world if you just work hard. So
mm-hmm.
it's a great motivational tool in so many ways in one storyline. And, you know, it's funny because, you know, obviously they had it already plotted out how I was going to be injured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the time Brock was injured, you know, and the fact that he was engaged. And that in my life was not real like, by any means. But after about, you know, 4 or 5 weeks of being on the show, I remember them coming to me and saying, you know what, you're actually doing better than what we expected. So
mm-hmm.
We would like to integrate some of your life into the storyline. And we're thinking that it would be great if Brock can eventually become that motivational speaker, which you are. And I thought, I was immensely overwhelmed because I thought to myself, I mean, a little bit of my life is actually going to be in a storyline on a nationally syndicated soap, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How great is that, you know? And, you know, the whole thing that I told you guys about, you know, I was going to the hospital and I was visiting patients. Well, in Pine Valley, they needed a reason for me to be in the hospital, so why not put him as an orderly? And that's the way he gets in touch with, you know, little Emma and Reese, and now he's helping Frankie kind of snap out of it. So it's kind of like a full circle, you know, that Brock was angry and pissed off at the world that this happened to him, and
mm-hmm.
his world got turned upside down, and now he's finding a purpose and a reason, and he was growing with this girl again. But as you guys witnessed here in the last few days, that we come to an understanding that, you know what, things aren't the same. And things do change, and people come into your life for certain reasons and for certain times because it makes sense. But then they're
mm-hmm.
there for that moment, and then it's time to move on, you know, to someone else or something else.
So now, where does it stand? Where does your character stand with All My Children? I saw you tweeting about that. What are they going to do with Brat?
Well, you know, the thing is that apparently, I mean, they do this like this score where they find out with fans, about some of their favorite characters. And I'm so lucky and grateful to all the people that support me, that either know me or don't know me or just know of me. And I'm getting great responses from the general public about me and my storyline and, you know, the fact that I'm trying my ass off. You know, I'm not an actor by any mean, and you know, people say you are because you've been on the show for so long, and I'm like, that's a word that I use it very loosely. You know, I don't really tell people first and foremost I'm an actor. I tell people I'm a speaker, and then I'm doing acting. But you know, they have some ideas with me. You know, I'm sure a lot of you have read as I've heard people say, the spoilers. They want to get me another love interest. You know, they had the idea that they wanted to give the audience an opportunity to watch Brat fall in love from the very beginning, and
mm-hmm.
not come into something, show up on your screen and he's already in love, and you know,
right.
as a fiance. So I know they want to do that. They're talking about they want to give me a job, you know, in Pine Valley, something different. You know, but they don't know exactly what it is as of yet. And, you know, there's, you know, I met with them because, you know, I only signed a 1-year contract, and that's coming up in October.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be on past that or not, you know. And as I said in, you know, my status updates, I said if I'm on past that, yeah, that's great. If I'm not, then you know what? I had a great run. I mean, I was only expected to be on for 3 months, and here I am stretching it out to a year. That's amazing to say I'm in opening credits. You know, there's so many things that I can look back and say I'm so proud of.
Right.
It ends in October. But it's just a matter of, you know, with all the great actors on that show and all the great storylines and you know, the intense storylines, how does Brat fit into a lot of these storylines? Where is a good fit for him that would make complete sense to the viewer, and for the viewer where it's not something that's like, what the hell is Brat doing there? You know, like what is Brat doing in the Chandler part? Like, what, why is he there? You know, and
mm-hmm.
It has to be something that has to make sense why Brat is there. So, you know, that's something that I think, you know, we're still trying to figure out. You know, we're still trying to make that smooth transition with everything going on in the storyline already. So,
what would you like Brat to do, or who would you like to see Brat develop a romance with from beginning to end?
Oh, man, there's so many, you know, everyone up there, it'd be an honor to work with anybody, you know. You know, the biggest names that I've heard thrown out there is, you know, because they don't have anybody, is Colby, or
mm-hmm.
Even Natalia, Jesse's daughter.
Uh-huh, I heard those, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, those are the rumors right now. You know, quite honestly, I get along with both of them, Brianne and Shannon. I get along with them very well off camera. I mean, you know, there's a lot of similarities in the things that we do off of camera. So I think I think it would do okay. I think it would work. I think it would be something that it would be more fun, you know, because Brat is in a different place now, and it's not always mad at everybody and, you know, and trying to snap at everybody. Now he's a little bit more happier place. But I mean, it wouldn't matter to me if it was Colby or Natalia. And as a job, I mean, you know, one of the things that we, you know, we've kind of tossed around, and this isn't set in stone or anything like that, it's just something we've kind of talked about. What do veterans do when they come back, you know, from, you know, overseas? Well, majority of them, what they do, you know, to get that same rush and get that same vibe, is a lot of them go into, like, law enforcement. I mean,
mm-hmm.
because it's an easy transition, and it's something that makes sense to them, and they know it very well. And so that's something we've kind of said and scratched our heads and said, you know, that actually might make some sense, you know, to do something like that. But, you know, we got to play with it and see, you know, we can't have all these cops, you know, on the show or nothing like that. You know, it has to be, like I said, smart transition.
Right.
Character. Because then, from what I've learned, then the viewer would say, that doesn't make any sense at all. Push it away. You know, we don't like
right.
it. And
right.
And you know, that the those are our fans, and those are the people that keep us going. So, you know,
right.
we need them.
Well, I want everybody to know, if they go to your official website, which is, I don't want to say it wrong, it's knowjr.com, right?
Yeah,
isn't
K-N-O-W-J-R.com.
I want to type it in. It's K-N-O-W-J-R.com. And on there, he has an official message board that just got started recently, correct?
Yes.
It's still under construction.
Yeah.
Okay, because I have people in here that in the chat room who are talking about starting a writing campaign and rallying the troops together to get more airtime. So I want everyone to go to this website I just posted in the chat room and go sign up for JR's official message board. It's in there. You'll find it, and you guys get together and do your thing. You know how to do the snail mail thing to the powers that be. So
well,
go ahead. That's the one thing so fans can do is write letters. That's for sure.
That is, you know, Joanna, I really am overwhelmed with the amount of people that have been very receptive to me. You know, one of the things that, you know, when I spoke to, you know, when I got the word that I got the job and I had my first conference call with Julie and Chuck and, you know, and I said to them, I said, look, I'm going to give you my experience. You know, I want to be able to help sell this. I mean, I'm not an actor. I was like, you know, I don't have any experience, but I want to learn. You know, I don't want to just dance to the music. I want to understand the purpose of the music. I want to understand mm-hmm. where that music comes from. And, you know, it was hard for me because I had all these commitments that I was booked up till, you know. And so when I wasn't taping, I jumped on a plane that evening or the early next morning, and I'm still doing speaking now to this moment. I'm just now starting to die down with that because it was just becoming too much. And I wanted to take acting classes. You know, I wanted to do all these things, but the time wasn't there. And I thought to myself, if I'm only going to be on for 3 months at first, you know, like, do I really need it now? You know, like, would it be something that, you know, would make that much sense, you know, to me? And then, you know, I was going by, you know, every three months. That's what I was going from, 3 months to 3 months. So I really never got it's not like, you know, obviously the well-established actors, which, you know, I mean, they deserve it. You know, they have more time, so they understand they'll be around, versus me, I didn't. And now that if I get the, you know, the word that, hey, you know what, you are going to stick around, now I'm completely committed to, now it's like I've completed my commitments of speaking and traveling, and I'm not booking as much. So that would give me time to really excel at this. And if I'm going to mm-hmm. be here, and if they're going to keep me in Pine Valley, then I want to give the listeners right now, and I want to give the viewers from around the world some good stuff, some good material. So when they transition from, which in my eyes is amazing, I think everyone agrees with me, Torsten, you know, Zach, I mean, they
mm-hmm.
transition from him, and all of a sudden they come to Brot, it's not as big drop-off. I want it to be something that it can be a great transition, and then I can keep the same momentum. And so when they transition from me to, you know, Susan Lucci or Jake and Amanda, guess what? The energy is there. It's where it needs to be, and it's helping, you know, to carry the show. And so, but I really have been completely just overwhelmed with the amount of the responses that I've received from the general public that understand my situation and know I'm not a trained actor and know that I'm just doing the best that I can, and I'm getting by, you know, and you know what? With the interview Beth did with you, you know, not too long ago, you know, she said something that was very interesting that, you know, I agree with. And, I mean, in a sense, she said, you know, maybe all this happened because they wanted to slowly get the people to like Taylor. And I think not only Taylor, but Brot, too, you know, it was a great way for people to be patient. And because if we would have threw too much of Brot to the people with no acting experience, everyone would have shot that down. And they would have shot, as much as they say, you know what, we applaud the guy for everything he's doing, everything he's done, everything he's been through, but come on, this is our 1 hour out of the day where we get away from the world and we just kind of look at all the drama going on ABC. I mean, you know,
right.
You know, come on. So I think it worked out very well to the point where, as frustrating as it is for Beth, and I completely understand this, I mean, she's been doing this for, for years. I mean, 20-plus years, and she's a great actress. And I was so excited to know that I was working with such a great actress, because I felt that just by watching her and just watching how certain things, I would learn so much. And I have. And, you know, I've never expected her. As I said, I think in one of my responses on the tweet to the whole thing, I said, you know, she never did any coaching. And one of the things that her and I discussed today, as we saw on a lot of those message threads, I said, you know, Taylor, I mean, Beth, I never wanted you to coach me. I never meant, like, after hours, we're going to, you know, spend time and you're going to coach me. You know, what I meant was, like, tips, you know, like, thing like that. And she did. You know, she did give me tips, and she did all those things. So, you know, it's something that, you know, I'm going to continue to learn, and I'm going to continue to grow, and I'm going to continue to get more and more comfortable with this. And you know, I'm thinking, you know, even if, you know, Broad is no longer in Pine Valley after October, I think it's something that, you know what, it'd be great to just kind of stay involved in the acting world, you know, because it really allows you to get in touch with yourself, you know, even more. And acting, what I found out, is about truth, and it's about, you knowing who you are as a core person on the inside. And it would only help me in my speaking world. It would just give me that more of a, you know, that energy that I need to be able to go out there and tell that story that I'm telling to people.
Well, you know what, I mean, just for starters, I think you sell yourself a little short when you say you're just an actor. You've actually grown so much in the short time you've been on the show. And if I was to tune in today and never had saw you a day before, I wouldn't know that you weren't an actor.
Right. You know,
put it that way.
And that's, you know what, I think a lot of that is watching everyone else on set, you know. Just watching how, you know, I've obviously gotten more comfortable, and I've been able to understand that, okay, here's the emotion I need to feel, or this is where I think my character is. And you know, I think one of the things that was kind of difficult for me, too, was although I had been through those emotions that Broad had been through, I was well past those stages, you know.
Right.
And now I am the energetic, laughing, joking around, like, I mean, right before, when the stage manager is saying in 5, 4, 3, sometimes I'm laughing, cutting up with, you know, the prop guys or the camera guys or somebody, you know, I'm doing a dance or something. I mean, it's because I'm having fun. So I think when Broughton is going to be given something where he can be a little bit more of himself, then I think a lot more comfort will come out, and I won't have to really go back and find and dig so deep to try to pull out those emotions. I think it would be an easier transition for me. So, I mean, I have learned. I mean, I've learned from all those people up there, you know, indirectly. You know, some of them, you know, haven't said anything to me, you know, as far as, you know, coaching or tips or anything like that. But, you know, if you want to learn, a lot of times you just got to stop and watch and listen to others, and you'll learn so much, you know. And I've been grateful to be surrounded by a great cast that is willing to receive me with open arms. I mean, from when I joined the show, one of the biggest compliments that I really took into was from Rebecca Greenlee and Susan Lucci. Both of them, within like 3 weeks or 4 weeks of me being on the show, came up to me continuously and said, "You've never done acting?" And I said, "No." And I said, "Why?" And I said, "Because it just seems like you have, like your response, I don't believe it." And both of them said that and said, "Well, you're doing very well." And to me, I was like, okay, you know, they obviously have some credibility here on this show. You know, they've been here for a while. The people love them. And for them to give me that feedback, obviously I'm doing something great. And it just kind of filtered with everyone else on the cast. And they really boosted my confidence, you know, level. They really said, "Hey, you know, you're doing great, you know, kid. Just keep going out there and doing you." And one of the great relationships that I love on the show that I have with someone is Frankie.
Cornelius.
Cornelius, we have a great, you know, friendship. I mean, even off camera, I mean, we get along very well, and it really transitions on the camera very well. And so, I mean, it's something that if I find out, you know, I think I'll find out probably, you know, maybe August time frame, you know, what my future is going to be with in Pine Valley. And if I find out that, you know, they want to keep Rod around for a while, then, you know what? I'm going to enroll into a school. I'm going to bust my ass to learn this
mm-hmm.
game and learn everything about it because I want the viewer to look at me and say, you know what? He's amongst some of the best right now. He's doing a great job, and we applaud him because that's how I am. You know, no matter what you put me in, I'm going to try to excel at it.
Right.
And so I want to give the public something great, you know, and because they're great. I mean, they've just been so great to me. And all the people that are listening right now, thank you so much. I mean, thank you for all your love and your support, Twitter followers, Facebook followers, everybody. Just I really thank you. And you guys motivate me because I know you have a story. And I know all of us have been through something. And you guys motivate me to continue to do what I'm doing today in the way that I do it. So thank you.
Well, you definitely have a lot of fans in this chat room. I even have I have a proposal from one of them that wants to be Mrs. Brock Monroe or Mrs. J.R. Martinez. So, hey, you know, you definitely developed your own fan following. And there's, you know, soap fans are the most loyal fans you'll ever have on the face of the planet. And they're, sometimes they're really loyal to a fault, as we've noticed. And, you know, it could be good, it could be bad. But they will follow you anywhere you go. So even if All My Children wasn't in the cards and, say, another soap picture up or a primetime show or whatever it was, those fans will consistently follow you. That's just the way that they are. So you'll never have to worry about not having fans, that's for sure.
Oh, okay.
I have a question from the chat room. They want to know, does it bother you at all, being a vet, how soaps sometimes dramatize war stories?
Yes and no. Yes, because sometimes it doesn't seem realistic, you know, I mean, but then no, because I understand it is a soap opera, and there's only so much you really can tell. You know, it's two different worlds, and a lot of times, you know, the soap operas really don't know everything about, you know, the military and how it really works, and they just go off of, you know, the soap opera world and how the transitions and everything happens there. But, you know, it's something that, you know, I know a lot of people, the feedback, they were like, why is Frankie being like this? Why is Frankie being like that? And it's like, you know, well, look at Brock, you know, look what Brock's been through. And, you know, and I was tough, you know, for the character Frankie, because, you know, it's something that, you know, people go through those transitions. And when something happens to you, I mean, you initially think to yourself, you know, this is horrible. And it's not many cases you're going to be like, this is okay, cool. You know what? Yeah, Brock, it's all right. Don't worry about it. You know? So, I mean, it's kind of a yes and no answer. I mean, it depends on how dramatic they're being and if it's realistic. I mean, if it's not realistic, if it's something that military wouldn't say or wouldn't do, then okay, you know, that let's be real here. But one thing that a lot of people don't know is that when you're impersonating a military personnel, like on TV or anything like that, something has to be wrong with either the uniform, the terminology, because then if it's completely accurate and on point, then it's considered impersonating the military personnel. So,
right.
Like, you'll see the uniform sometimes, and, you know, when I first heard about this opportunity and I watched Taylor on the show, they had her dressed up in Class A's, and they had, you know, decoration. It looked good. They had a blue ribbon on her Class A's that went around her shoulder. And I thought to myself first that, no, it wouldn't happen, because that blue ribbon is for a job in the military called infantry, which only men do. And so a woman would never get that ribbon, you know, because they're not allowed in that field. You know, infantry's front lines and stuff like that. So it's just those kind of things that people don't know. So, you know, patience is a big thing. And I know it's people say, well, these are our stories. You know, we don't have time for patience. We're trying to get this great story. But there's always a reason sometimes behind it, you know, behind a lot of
right.
things. So that's why you kind of got to be patient with it.
Right. Also, I have another couple questions. Will you be attending any of the fan events coming up in September?
I was reached out to by somebody recently to my website. Someone sent me an email and asked me if I would consider attending an event. I think it's here in New York in September.
Yeah, the All My Children Fan Club Weekend.
Yeah, and I'm actually just, because people can actually go there on my website, and there's an Ask tab, Ask JR,
mm-hmm.
and it actually sends an email to me, and I reply to you. I personally, whatever question you have, I reply to you. And so, I mean, it's just, I've had a lot of it, but I do want to attend. I mean, it'll be my first actual fan club, you know, event, and I want to do that. I want to give back to people that have given me so much, which is love and respect and support. So, I mean, as of now, absolutely. I mean, I don't think the dates will conflict with anything, but, I mean, I would be more than honored to do it. I want to meet everybody.
Well, everybody in here wants to meet you. Do you have an official fan club president, or are you basically running this kind of stuff on your own?
You know, I'm kind of doing this on my own. You know, I have, you know, a team of people, but they're like a team of, like, you know, PR people and stuff like that, but I don't really have, you know, a fan club president or anything
right.
like that. You know, I had someone send me some stuff that was, I thought was very cool, and it was like these little pins that had my picture on it, my name, and, you know, a little like mailing stickers, you know, to put on the envelopes, and it had like my picture on it. I thought that was like really cool. I was like, I made it, you know, like I got my own pins now. I feel like, you know, I'm really doing something here. So, you know, and you know what? I like that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, I'm not the private person. I mean, I love to interact with people. I mean, I love to be personable with people, you know, and just, you know, because I want people to feel like, you know what? JR is real. You know, that is real. Like, and everything he's been through is real. And when people need to feel that sense of hope or sense of something, motivation, they feel like they can touch me and they can get that, you know, and that's what I want
mm-hmm.
them to feel, you know?
Well, I have these questions are going crazy now. Dawn.
Fine, I'll ask.
Her name. Okay, Dawn is her name, and she says, please tell him thanks for meeting my cousin and my aunt at the Strawberry Fest in Pasadena, Texas. I had to work, so I couldn't make it. Tell him it's Dawn.
Hey, Dawn. Yes, I do remember Dawn. How you doing, Dawn?
Okay, yes, she's in the chat room.
Pasadena, Texas was a great place. I did an event down there. It was a charity concert we did, and Strawberry Festival was one of the events that was happening the weekend before, so we were there to promote it, and it was all to go to a charity. And I tell you, I met some great people in Pasadena, Texas. I mean, just great, great people. So, you know, I love the opportunity to meet everyone, and it was great to meet Dawn's family as well.
Well, I have a friend of mine who does run fan clubs, so I told her to go send you an email on your Ask JR tab and give her info. She does one for Forbes March, who's an actor on As the World Turns, and another one for Brittany Underwood from One Life to Live.
Oh,
so,
okay. All right.
So I told her to just send all that stuff to you. He answered the question, Tammy. He's going to try and attend whatever is available in September as far as fan clubs go. Wicked Rule says she sent you extra pins and postcards for your mom. I guess that's who sent you the pins to begin with, so I don't know when.
Okay, maybe. I know I got some pins and some stickers, and I think there was like a refrigerator magnet, something like that.
Okay.
So it might have been. If it was you, thank you very much. I appreciate it. My mother gets a thrill out of those things. I mean, after being on the show for like a short period of time, there was a... It's on my Facebook and stuff like that, and I think it's Norn
Cutson. Mm-hmm.
Yes. It did a drawing of Brod, you know, and
yes.
I thought it was really, really cool. Like, it was really cute. Like, it was on point because, you know, on my face, one of my eyebrows is kind of like a little bit more elevated than the other because
mm-hmm.
Of the burns, and then they try to do plastic. And in the picture, it's raised up that way too, and I was like, that is so cool. So I sent one to my mother too, and she loves it. She's like a cartoon character after you. That's really cool.
He does amazing work. He's done so many of them for a lot of the soap stars. He's done them for like Robin Strasser, Susan Lucci, and yeah, he does really, really good artwork.
Yeah, very accurate. I mean, to the
yeah.
point, everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Brod was wearing his little vest in his picture that he did, you know. So it was really cool. So, I mean, anybody that sends me anything like that, you know, obviously sometimes it takes a little longer to get, you know, get to us because the amount of mail that comes into the studio and everything else going on, and depending on our hours when we can get the stuff. But, you know, once I receive it, I am so grateful to everyone. And, you know, I apologize if I cannot return, you know, everyone's, you know, letter or email or something, but I try very hard. And, and you know, because I want you guys to know that you are appreciated by me and by all of us on the show. I mean, all of us love all our supporters and our fans, so thank you very much.
Well, the next time I'm down in the city, I'm just going to have to bring you some water bottles then, because I could put your face on a water bottle. Did you know that?
See?
And I can also make chocolate candy bar wrappers with your face on them.
Now, is the chocolate in it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I'm really shooting for.
I'm gonna get those. I'm definitely gonna get those out to you. You watch and see.
You can't
a couple
give me too
weeks.
Much of that stuff. You can't give me too much of that stuff. You know, I gotta keep, you know, a decent figure. It's funny because they're doing stories on me, and I have to bring pictures in of my recovery and me before my injury and stuff like that. And I brought in some pictures of me while I was going through recovery, those 2.5 years I spent in the hospital. And I look completely different. Obviously, surgically, I look different, you know, in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to weigh 240 pounds. I mean, I was a big guy because, I mean, several reasons. When you're a burn patient, your metabolism is all thrown off, and it doesn't understand when to sweat, when not to sweat. So that was something that was working against me. And then at the same time, you know, medication, and I was sitting around. I thought I was, you know, 12 again, or I can eat whatever I wanted, and it wouldn't affect me. Well, it did. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, here I am, 240 pounds, and finally I just said no more of that stuff. So I've been working out and eating healthy and just trying to stay in shape and, you know, just trying to fit into all those great clothes that they give us on the show.
Well, then I'll send you the granola bar ones if you got to be a big baby about it, but that's okay.
All right, yeah.
We could definitely do one of those.
I got an email right now on my website from a guy named Dan Pierce. I think he may be listening right now, and ask me a question, and I'm sitting there reading it right now. So, I mean,
all right, say that. When you email him, I just put it up again. Go to www.knowjr.com, click on the Ask tab, and you send JR your email, and it goes to him, and he'll respond as quickly as he can. So you guys can definitely do that. And I have a couple phone calls to get to. Can we do that, or do you have to run?
No, let's do it.
All right, let's go. We're going to go over here to Tony from Chicago. Tony, say hi to JR.
Hi, JR.
How you doing, Tony from Chicago, the Windy City?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm doing all right. Listen, I know, and by the way, you're doing a great job on the show. You got to work with such great veterans, not only with Beth Edwards, but you also got to work with Michael Knight and Debbie Morgan and Deborah Williams. I mean, that has to be a thrill for you.
You know what? It's really still at times kind of shocking that I'm standing next to them and I'm standing on the same set as them. It really is kind of shocking at times because, like I said, my mother talked about, you know, the Jessies, the Angies, the Michael Knights and the Tads, and the first ever scene that I had on All My Children was with Tad. So it was just kind of mind-boggling for me to be in his presence. I mean, and I was on the same camera, you know, with him. I mean, it was amazing. So it really is amazing, and it's you know, what's funny about it, though, is they're such great people, such sweethearts, and they hug you and kiss you as if, you know, they're family, and you know, I feel like, you know, I am one of the children on All My Children, but it's a great experience, and, you know, I think that's what allowed me to actually do okay as of now, because I've had such great people surrounding me on that show.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's great. And you also had your first scenes, but also with Brianne Moncrief, you pretty much mentioned. And people will love to see you. I'd like to see Brian and Colby, you know, uniting somewhat because they were friends began at the beginning of the whole thing. So I'd love to see that.
It would be cool.
Yes.
It would be nice to see that, you know, because, I mean, she basically was the one that kind of at first kicked me in my butt and said, get out of this, dude. I can't believe you're doing all this. And then Frankie just kind of finished it off and made me step up to the plate and be the man that I needed to be for Taylor. And so, I mean, it would be nice to kind of, you know, touch back with her. And we had so much fun, you know, because we worked together for, you know, 2-3 weeks at you know, doing that, all that stuff, and we definitely enjoyed it. So it would be nice to touch base with her again and you know, just have great scenes for everyone to enjoy.
That's fantastic. One last question before I let you go, before I go. On the April 21st episode, when Brock had to speak in front of a bunch of war veterans,
yes.
Was that footage they used, you actually from an actual speech that you did, or whether you guys shot it on location with the war veterans and their families as extras?
No, that was actually a real event, and I'm glad you asked that question because I know a lot of people are curious about that. After I joined in October of 2008, and by November, I went to Beth and I said, "Hey, Beth, I have this idea. I attend a wounded troop convention every year in Orlando, Florida, which is with a nonprofit that I do stuff with called the Coalition of Salute America's Heroes." And I said, they bring about 150 troops and their families there, all expenses paid, and it's fun, but at the same time, very, you know, resourceful for them. And I said, wouldn't it be cool if we can shoot a scene down there? And I said, it's at Walt Disney, so, I mean, ABC, it would make sense. So Beth said, absolutely, let's go to them. And we went to, you know, the producer and the writers, and they jumped right on board. And we actually filmed that in December in Orlando and then used it later in April. And it was something that, you know, I tell people it's cool because that's what I do is speaking. But that wasn't – it was a great speech, but it wasn't – I had to be a little hesitant for the character of Brock. You know, I needed to kind of like be my first time, be like,
right.
Okay, you know. But it was a real, real event. And luckily, you know, all my children, everyone here, the personnel said, you know what, we support it. We're going to go down there and use it. And Beth was there, as you can see. And there was what I loved about that footage, though, is the fact that they showed other troops in the audience. I love that. You know, it wasn't about Brock or Taylor. I mean, as much as it was, that's the whole scene.
Right.
I just loved how they showed the other vets and their families, and I just think that allows so much more of an insight for the audience.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it was actually real, because it looked real, too, because, you know, you saw actual war veterans who were, and their families were up there speaking and actually listening to them speak, but it was actually you actually speaking for real for them, right?
Right, absolutely. So it really came out very well. I was so happy. You know, I love the music that they put, you know, and the footage with Brock and Taylor doing the rock climbing. And, you know, Beth,
she really
challenged me. She
right.
really did. Like, I was messing around, and she said, "Oh, I bet you I can beat you climbing up that wall." And I was like, "Yeah, whatever." And she's like, "Come on, then." And I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And she's like, no, come on. And she challenged me. Because, you know, that's how Beth is. Beth is a tough cookie. Beth is, I told her, I said, you know what, you do this military thing very well, because she has that little edge that's
right.
toughness to her. And,
right.
You know, just for the record, I did beat her, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure she wouldn't appreciate me saying that. And apparently, in her defense, this is what she was saying. Apparently, my side was easier than her side. Yeah, of course, you know. She was just mad because, you know, Sergeant Monroe beat Lieutenant Taylor.
That's all right on then. Well, Jared, thanks so much for talking to me tonight. Always good to see you on All My Children. But more importantly, my friend, thank you for serving our country and risking your life and so we can have our freedom, our independence. And of course, you're going to be on 4th of July this weekend. And because of you and other board veterans, it does make it safe for all of us.
Tony, thank you so much. That means so much, man. And that's the kind of responses that just keeps me going, man. So thank you for taking the time to listen and to join in this great, you know, chat and for giving me great comments and feedback and asking great questions. So thanks again, man. And enjoy the Windy City.
I certainly will.
All right.
Take care.
Take care, Tony.
Thanks, Tony.
All right. There, John. Bye-bye.
Okay. He's a great guy, Tony. He's a loyal listener, I have to say. He's got a nice history, Tony and I.
Oh, that's great.
Been
that's
there
great.
From the very beginning of the show.
Really?
Yeah, he has. He's a really, really loyal listener. This next person's name is Stephanie. Area code 321. I'm not sure where that's from.
Florida.
Oh, okay. Florida.
Yeah.
Say hi to JR.
Hi, JR.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. It's nice
Where
to speak
Florida
with you.
Where in Florida are you? Where
Palm Bay, actually. It's about an hour and a half or so from Orlando.
Okay, yeah. I was just, you know, been hitting Florida a lot this year, the Orlando, Tampa area, and I was there like a week and a half ago, and I tell you, it is so hot down there right now.
It is.
I mean, it's 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'm walking from my friend's front door to the car in the driveway, and I'm sweating. I'm like, I think I'm going to go back and take a quick shower or something. It was just horrible. Beautiful, but you know what? The heat. But I'm used to it. So
yeah.
What's going on tonight in Florida?
Well, I'm just so glad to get to speak with you, and I'm really enjoying watching you on All My Children. And
oh, thank you.
I think you're a wonderful addition to the cast, and I hope they're going to come up with some good stuff to write for you in the upcoming months. And
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for that amazing love that you and others have given me. And you know what I found interesting is when I posted that stuff on Facebook and Twitter about, you know, that they really had no idea as of now how to write me in again,
uh-huh.
like how to integrate me in, the responses that I would get from people, you know, because the one thing I'm learning about, you know, the fans is they're great writers too. You know, they really come up with some cool ideas of things that you know, my character and other characters should do and stuff like that, and I just thought to myself, you know, I should just print this out and just take it to the, you know, to the writer and say, hey, what about this, you know, think about that.
Yeah,
so you know, hopefully I'll be around, you know, but if not, you know, all the supporters will be in my heart and my mind always. And you know, if you follow me on Twitter or Facebook or MySpace, you'll always be connected with me, you know, because I'm always updating something on there, and I'm trying to just pass my daily love and inspiration and whatever it is that I'm feeling or going through on to others. So, you know, we'll see. You know, only time will tell. And the one thing I've learned in life, but necessarily being on the show, is patience. You know, patience is a key component. And,
definitely.
You know, I definitely got to have patience, you know, and as much as I would love to get that answer now, whether I'm going to be around, just so I can give it to everyone else, and I think maybe enjoy that, I got to have patience and just kind of wait for it. So we'll see. But, again, you guys will be with me forever, and I will carry all of you with me no matter what I do and where I go.
Well, you're a true inspiration, and just a quick question for you. You know, taking on this role on All My Children, you had to step out of your element. And what advice would you give to someone who's having to step out of their element to, you know, maybe try a new career path or anything?
Well, you know, one of the things for me, and I'll try to be as accurate with an answer as I can, but quick. My life when I was a child, at 9 years old, I was born in Louisiana. And then at 9, my mother moved to Arkansas, in Hope, Arkansas. And I lived there till I was 17 years old, my junior year of high school. Then from there, my senior year, which is the best year, we moved to Georgia. And I go to my senior year in Georgia. And then all of a sudden, you know, I join the military, I get injured, and then I'm stepping into this world where I'm doing speaking now, and then I was doing interviews, and now here I am on My Children. The reason I say all that stuff is that all of us at some point in time are always going to have to get outside of our comfort zone and outside of our safety net, our safety circle, you know, to call it.
Right.
And if you're willing to take that risk and not allow fear to get the best of you, although you may fall and it may not turn out the way you expected it, it's a growing experience, and it's a way for you to look back and say, you know what, at least I tried it. Because the biggest difference that a lot of people that I've met, the people that have become very successful, when I say successful, I don't mean just financially. I mean spiritually. I mean emotionally, mentally, those
right.
ways. It's because they were willing to take that risk. And without knowing, you know, what is lying ahead of you, you still take that risk. And although you may fall, you grow and you say, I did it. And you have to just look at life and say, you know what? I'd rather when I'm 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years old I'm sitting in a rocking chair or wherever you're sitting or whatever you're doing, you can say, I did it and I tried it versus I wish I would have done it. And that's the biggest thing that people need to remember every single day. Don't be afraid. You know what? There's too many things. I mean, what do we have to lose now? I mean, there's a lot of things that are kind of shaky in this world. And go after it. Don't be afraid. There's a lot of opportunities out there for a lot of people. And just be yourself. Don't try too hard.
Yeah,
be
most
yourself.
Definitely. You got to take that leap of faith.
Just be yourself. Be confident. understand that you have the ability to do it, that, you know, you may not be, you know, the CEO, you know, type person, or you may not be the person that, you know, is doing the secretary work, you know, or you may be. But understand that you have a talent and you have a role. And everyone's talent and role is important, and whether it's on All My Children as an actor, whether it's in any kind of sport team or any kind of business, and any family, everyone doing their own and pulling their own weight is important in so many ways. So just know your talent, know your role, and just go in there and do it. You know, and if you fail, you know what? Get back up.
Most definitely. That's great advice. Well, thank you so much for taking my call, and I look forward to continuing watching you on All My Children.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And try to cool it off down there in Florida. I think I'll be coming down there soon, so I kind of want to.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
thank you very much.
Thank you so much for taking the time to call. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. I spent 11 years, painstaking years in that state. Oh, my God. It's so hot there, I can't stand it.
Oh, Lord, I tell you, I love to work out and stuff like that, but when I'm doing something that's called a working out, versus I feel like in Florida,
just walking to the
car. Yeah, you're walking,
car.
And I'm like, I'm just trying to get somewhere. Why am I sweating?
Nope.
This is not what I
yeah.
want.
Yeah. Oh no. I moved right back to New York as soon as I could. I could not stand not having the change of the seasons. All right, we got one last caller I have time for, and this is Rita from Chicago.
Oh, nice. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Rita, say hi to JR.
This is an early birthday present you're giving me.
Okay, well, Rita. Okay, but Rita. Rita.
JR.
Rita, you're talking into the wrong phone.
Oh, this one. Is this one better?
Yes.
Okay.
Rita has two phones, JR, so she doesn't know which one she's talking into.
You know what? I sometimes I don't even know either, so don't worry about it.
I wanted to talk to you so bad. Yes, and I do use two sometimes because I want to. Mr. JR, I want to tell you something. All My Children is gone where no soap has gone before. And I'm especially grateful that they picked you. And the reason I'm saying this is because it started with a scene the way Noah protected Julia. There was such a strong, beautiful bond there that it's almost like when marriage came into the picture, it kind of ruined the beauty, and this is what I see in line for Taylor and Brat. I see her saying, you know, I visualize her kissing your scar because and saying, you're alive, you're alive. I could especially see this on All My Children, and I could see that, and now I'm seeing that she's, I love the way you said, she loves you,
right. But
she's not, and then you finished the sentence, you said, but you're not in love with me
exactly. Anymore.
I could see the love being stronger. I could see her embracing your burns.
Right.
And in lots of ways, I have trouble processing you saying that you having trouble processing being on a soap. You went out and you did something in real life, and you protected us. You fought for us, and you're saying you're having trouble processing being on a daytime show with all these actors. You only have to be yourself. Look what you did. You brought a storyline that I can only envisualize All My Children embracing and
right. Going
there. Because, like, they go where no soap's gone before, in my opinion.
You know what? And you're so right. You know, I have to say before I say anything, thank you so much for just your genuine love that came across. I think everyone that is listening right now was able to hear, you know, your voice and hear how much passion and heart and love that is behind it. And thank you so much for that, because one of the biggest things is Beth and I really got a chance to know each other, you know, and working together off camera. And I think she, you know, for her to see, it was, I gave her, like, you know, gave her an opportunity to really see me in my element. You know, when I was speaking to those veterans and that whole, you know, 4 days that we spent down there, me being on stage and emceeing that whole thing, she was able to see me in my element. And I think it really allowed her to understand J.R. Martinez in a completely different way, because I was seeing her in her world, which is the acting, but then she was able to see me in mine. So, you know, I think the big important thing about Broughton Taylor is when we said, you know, you love me but you're not in love with me, is that we want the viewer to understand and know that there's always going to be that love and that bond between them two, and it will never go away, although it may be a little different. But just know that potentially that love is still there, that, you know, if she's having a hard time in Pine Valley or I am, I feel like I can always connect with her because she's my best friend. And that's the way things should be sometimes, you know, no matter how difficult things are, you know, to break up with someone or whatever in your life, just try to maintain that connection and that love, you know, because it's a great thing to have great energy and great love from someone else versus that negative energy. And I think that's the biggest thing with Beth. And I say Beth, I don't say Taylor, because Beth has to do this in order for that to portray for Taylor. Beth understands my scars. And I tell you, there's so many times she's, I mean, if you guys watch the interview with The View, I mean, she's, you know, mm-hmm. she rubs my head, you know.
Yeah,
she's always,
I taped it.
Yeah, she's always
doing
stuff like that because she sees me and she knows me. She knows that I'm just a comedian. I'm always doing something just you never know. You know, she's always laughing at me, and I'm like, what did I do? And she's laughing, and I'm like, I don't even know what I did. And she, you know, we have such great fun. So, you know, she sees my scars, and she knows that, no different than if you guys remember the scene that I had with Reese when she was in the hospital and she was throwing her fit because, she, you know, she thought she was blind. And when I grabbed her hand and I said, trust me, and she touched my face, when her and I were in the dressing room and we were running this line, she literally closed her eyes and she felt my scars. And that's how it portrayed so well on camera, because these people, all these actors and all the writers and, you know, whether it's the interns, whomever it is, they see me and they see so much beauty in my scars. And you know what? Scarring is a beautiful thing. Scarring is an opportunity for you to know that you've overcame something. And you're still fighting, and you're still winning, and you should be proud of your scarring, whether they're external, like mine, or internal, like millions of people have, that we're not able to see on a daily basis. So, you know, thank you so much. That was just I'm glad, you know, you were that caller, because you just added so much heart and so much, you know, passion behind what you just said, and it came across very, very well, and I thank you for that.
Oh, Joanne, you gave me a beautiful birthday present, allowing
me
to
happy
talk
birthday,
to a
Rita.
Wonderful person.
When is your birthday, Rita?
July 3rd.
July 3rd. Well, happy early birthday from everyone in this chat session right now. Happy early birthday, and may you have a great one, and may you have many, 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 many more.
Thank you for bringing your story. And thank you for saying what you said about me.
Oh, no, you know, it's a pleasure. And, you know, I take the time to say things back to people because I can feel the realness that comes from what people say to me. And
right.
I want to give that back to you and to everyone in this chat room, to Joanne. Thank you, obviously, for giving me the opportunity to come on this show and have an opportunity to answer some questions. And I could do this all night. I really could.
And you know what? I wish we could do it all night, too. Rita, I want to say thanks again for calling in, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
You're welcome. We are running out of time, though. We have 60 seconds left on the clock.
All
right. JR, you have an open invitation. Whenever you want, you're welcome back.
your story is inspirational, and you don't know what you did for me tonight. I'll send you an email, but you did a lot for me tonight, too, on a personal level, and I'll explain that in a private email. But it was a pleasure, and I'm glad that we got the chance for you and Beth to come on, so everyone in the internet world knows they're friends and knock it off.
Absolutely.
Simple as that.
We love each other. We love each other. And we support one another, and we will always be there for one another, whether it's Broughton Taylor or JR and Beth. And Joanne, thank you so much for this amazing opportunity and giving everyone my website to come and be a part of my world and follow me on Twitter, Facebook, or MySpace, and
absolutely.
Just be my friend. You know, I don't
absolutely.
Like using the word fan. I like the word supporters, because these people are just amazing supporters, and they're great people to have in my corner. And I so much, again, thank you to everyone that is here this evening listening to this, and to everyone that is listening to my post every single day on all those sites. So thanks again, and we will have to do this again sometime.
Absolutely. You are definitely coming back, dear. We just didn't have enough time.
All right.
Go enjoy the rest of your night, and I'll speak with you soon.
All right. Take care. Good night, everyone.
Okay. Good night. Okay, you guys, we're signing off here. And a reminder, I do have a show tomorrow with Heath Kizier, formerly from Young and the Restless. He will be with me tomorrow night, 10 p.m., so don't forget to tune in for that. Have a great night, and I'll talk to you all tomorrow. Peace out.